good afternoon, AM 950 radio listeners that gadget in today. Back in the great state of Minnesota, where I'll tell you, the bright skies of the last few days, they cheer up your spirit. They cheer up your soul. We're going to, you know, darkness reaches its peak in 4 days, which I think, Brett, is also the day that the government shutdown might happen. I mean, how do you like that?
Oh, the darkest day of the year is the day the government shuts down. Do you think they timed that on purpose?
I am quite certain they did not. I mean, wouldn't that be something if they could operate with that level of symmetry in the budget resolutions, you know, when they pass those things? I'm guessing they didn't, but I do think that the 20, is it not the 21st? Isn't that the day that the...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the 21st.
Yeah. So, that's happening, that government shutdown thing. And boy, I'll tell you, that's enough to... It's enough to make somebody just think that the people who make decisions about the federal government budget don't mind if the government is shut down. I'm not any pox on both their houses people at all. I think blame is often pretty clear to see. And this one falls squarely on Donald Trump and all. But the fact that the Senate and the House and the president like the idea that they can keep some pressure on one another, something hanging over the heads of each other so that they can say, we're going to shut the government down if we don't get our way. They must feel like that's a win for them in some way. There must be something in their calculation that says, whatever we do, we need to make sure we keep the opportunity to shut down the government if we need it. I think it's a dereliction of duty. I think they should take that entire apparatus out of the system. I don't know, like, figure out how you fund the core operations of the government, the federal government, in a much longer basis, and give a whole lot longer of a period between when the new budget has to be in place and when the implication of that budget not being in place. This business that they can run it right up till the final hour, or which I suspect they very well may do in this case, is something like allow the government to shut down over the weekend, right? So that they can get whatever benefit, in this case, Donald Trump wants to get out of saying that he's being a tough guy caring about the borders. Them shutting down the federal government, though, just seems to me to be a really, really, it's a bad habit in addition to it being a bad choice. I think they just do so many things like this that strike at the lack of trust in the government. And this is why I think that Democrats and pro-government people, I think there's even pro-government Republicans that exist in the world. I think the pro-government Republicans and pro-government Democrats need to all come together and try to do something to bring an end to this, because it makes the argument that the federal government is full of nonsense and shenanigans and not thinking about anybody but themselves a much more arguable point when they do things like this and allow this government to shut down. So we don't have to worry too much about that today. You know, there's a lot of things. Today has enough trouble of its own. But I really think that that's a place of concern come Thursday and Friday of this week. How do you think about that, Brett? Where does your mind go on these kinds of government shutdowns?
I still can't wrap my head around the fact that the government is going to shut down when we have a unified government completely controlled by Republicans, because normally these types of things only happen when we have Congress and the White House that are all from different parties. So, yeah, you're right. This is completely on them. And if you're a government worker, that's, of course, very stressful because it's holiday time and, well, you don't know if you're going to be going to work or getting paid. I just can't believe we're doing this again when we have all Republicans in power. They can do this themselves. Yeah. They can end this.
Yeah, maybe you remember. I don't remember what it was that caused this to happen in early 2018. Wasn't there a few-day shutdown that somehow was blamed on Schumer? And they were – I don't remember how they brought that about, what they did to make that happen. Do you remember – see, and this is the other problem with these shutdowns, is people like me and you, who I think, you know, pay a lot of attention to this, can't even always recall all that's going on. Do you remember the details on that one?
Yeah, when was that? I thought it was late 2017. I don't remember. Here, let's see. January shutdown, as I'm going to read you from a Wikipedia article. Yeah, January 19th. And what was it about? It was about the CHIP program, I think. Remember the Children's Health Insurance Program? I think that was a big bargaining.
Oh, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were saying, what were we going to do about those kids? And then somehow they got, and it was like, it was one of these over the weekend deals.
Yeah, they were holding that hostage for Democrats saying, well, these children aren't going to get health insurance if you don't go with our priorities. And I think that's what they shut down the government over.
Yeah. And, you know, it did nothing. Ultimately, you end up coming back to negotiate. The thing I don't like about them, whether they've happened at the state level, and I thought they were a disaster when they happened in the state of Minnesota, when they happened at the federal level, they are like war in the sense that ultimately, if you're going to, a war is going to end by a negotiated peace, right? That's how it's going to end. The act of violence of a country against another country is what you do when you aren't to a place that one side or both sides are willing to negotiate, right? The only way they ever come to an end is somebody quits or gives up, or you find mutual relief and you call an end to hostilities or an end to the war. So it's always a negotiation that's going to get you there. There is no other version of the end of these hostilities rather than this. And the same thing happens with these shutdowns. Ultimately, they're going to have to negotiate out something, and they're apparently trying to make it painful enough on either side that they're willing to negotiate something they wouldn't have negotiated previously, or they're trying to make a point. Either one of those means that people are being treated in ways that are harmful to them, damaging to them, difficult for them. And I find it to be so inappropriate that they will take people's sense of whatever the government provides to them, whether that's a job or a service or a sense of the government being functional, whatever it is that people find valuable in the federal government, when it's taken down and taken away, it's just no good for anybody. And I don't, I find it to be a maddening, maddening experience.
Well, I was going to say, Philip from Mendota Heights just called us. He didn't want to go on air, but he said the reason we're having a lot of these shutdowns is that it's been years since we've actually passed a multi-year budget, because we seem to always just do continuing resolution. We don't really do any long-term planning. So that was Philip's point as to why we keep getting these shutdowns, is that we don't pass long-term budgets anymore.
Right. This is the mechanism he's bringing up. This thing I was trying to raise earlier as well, is that what you end up with is very short term. And sometimes it'll be 3 months or 6 months or something like this, where the budget will be passed to the next based on whatever the previous budget is. And it sort of carries you over. The state of Minnesota had a tendency of doing this too. When we went to a bicameral system where the budgets are being set every 2 years, it takes some of that pressure away. The fact that the federal government chooses not to create a system, and this is the thing we have to remember about how anytime our governments are running, our governments, whether they're at the state, local, or federal level, they're only operating according to the rules that they've established, unless, and we'll talk about constitutional impact on laws in a minute when we talk about the ACA possible unconstitutional status, but unless you're dealing with something at a constitutional level, all the rules of how it functions, how budgets get set, how decisions are made, how many people it takes to pass some sort of legislation or law, if you have to include people from the other party or not, those are all rules made by the people in the government. So when somebody acts as if and speaks as if, well, nothing a guy can do about it. No, there's just no way around it. I mean, I can't help it. If it wasn't for the system, this would all work. They're in control of the system, right? The Democrats, when they take over the House of Representatives, could change the rules by which budgets are set for the federal government. They could do that anytime they want after January 3rd. I don't think they're going to, because they find value in this. And this is where we have to, as citizens, I believe, push back on our elected officials, especially those from our own party, especially those that hold our support, especially those that we trust, the ones that we would have voted for, and continue to say to them, you have the ability to run this system, to run this process, to run this function in a different way, and we need you to do that. That is totally in the purview of any of our elected officials. And that's something I think we have to hold them accountable to, because what we end up doing is only talking about the outcome, and everyone acts as if the process itself is something that carries its own power and we can't do anything about it. It's that level of civic engagement that those of us who care a lot about this, I think, need to keep up our pressure on it. And it's worth talking to our new Congress people, our newly elected Minnesota representatives, and to say to them, hey, we don't just want you to go to the House of Representatives and to pass new outcomes, new laws, new statutes. Those are really important. That's not the only thing, though. There's also the way it functions. And this is a really good window, just 2 weeks before the new Congress is seated, to say there has to be a different, it has to be a better, there has to be a more consistent way that we can go about all these things. And look, hardly anything is more boring than some sort of budget decision and some sort of budget insidery. You know, no one gets excited about that. That's why they tie it to something else. You tie it to the border wall, you tie it to CHIP, you tie it to immigration law, you tie it to war funding. You find something else that's more interesting, because people don't find this interesting enough, which is why we need for people to engage in this in better ways. Hey, when we come back here after the break, I want to talk about this ACA thing, what that's especially going to mean for Minnesota, because a lot of people in Minnesota benefit from this. And it's a really big deal. The seeds of the origination of the ACA have started to grow, and it's not working well. So we'll be back here after the break. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Trying to figure out what went wrong. You just slipped something into my palm that you were gone.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients, because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options, or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for over 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations. Seward Co-op stores are committed to local producers and food you can feel good about serving your family and guests. Pre-order your holiday meal from Seward, local free-range Ferndale turkeys, handcrafted traditional vegetarian, vegan, and made without gluten sides, perfect for everyone at your holiday gathering. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store at 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style Sundays at 5 p.m. right here on AM 950. Habitation is Minneapolis's coolest furniture design studio. Our in-house design staff specializes in creating spaces that reflect your style, your values, and your taste. From edgy modern to transitional, Habitation is here to help you craft your home. You know what's also exciting? Habitation offers AM 950 listeners complimentary interior design services, which include an appraisal of any furniture pieces you may want to trade in for store credit. That's right. Habitation will take your gently used furniture and issue you store credit on fresh, fantastic furniture. Check out Habitation today, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park, 1 mile east of Highway 100, or visit us online at habitationdesign.com.
It's gonna be a long, long call.
950 Progressive Voice of Minnesota. But you're probably following this big news about Friday when a district judge, I believe it was, in Texas, put out a ruling where he agreed with a number of attorneys general and governors of Republican Party in saying that the Affordable Care Act, as it's often known, you know, it's got a long, complicated set of numbers for its real thing, but it's known as the Affordable Care Act, the ACA, or AKA Obamacare, because the new tax law that was signed into law last year zeroed out the dollar amount of penalty that would go be a charge to someone who was not insured. So there was this provision inside the ACA that said that if you didn't have insurance, then you were going to be surcharged a tax, a fee of some variety. And it's really important because the distinction between a tax and a fee became the rationale for why Chief Justice Roberts wrote his opinion the way that he did in saying that the Affordable Care Act was constitutional. So that's going to come up in a minute. But anyway, what they did was they said you have to have insurance, and if you don't, then you're going to be charged a fine. And it was a small amount. I think it was $50 the first year of the ACA, went up to maybe $200. But you check me on that. Maybe you know right off the top of your head what the amount of fine was in the tax bill that they eliminated. How much the tax fine was going to be. So if you know that, feel free to chime in. But what happened was that the new tax bill zeroed that out. So they didn't remove, they didn't say, oh, there's now no longer a penalty if you don't have insurance. They just said, there's a penalty, but it's $0. Well, the district court judge in Texas ruled that basically without a fine that structurally, fundamentally changed the ACA, and therefore the entire project fell on that notion that there was no longer a fine. Well, there are people who are rightly screaming, and I'm one of them, that are saying, look, the ACA is too important. The ACA provides protections for individual insured, for smaller insurance companies. It's the ground rules. We can't be changing these all. You don't do something like this based on a technicality, like if it was $1 or one penny, then it would be valid, and if it was zero pennies, then it becomes invalid. That's just, you don't do that about it. But I think we need to take another look at that argument. I hold that argument. I make that argument. I hope that argument prevails, but I think it's weak in this sense. If the ACA is unconstitutional, if it is, based on the way that the new tax law deals with the penalty, the way that the previous legislation was written, if that's true, then we do have to fix it, right? Let's not become the people who make an argument that just because the law is beneficial to people, and it's arguable how beneficial it is, if it could be more beneficial, but just granting that it's beneficial, to become the people that make the argument that if it's beneficial to people, then don't worry about how legal it is. Do you see where I'm going with this? Because this is exactly the argument that the Trump supporters and other people of bad behavior, supporters of those in the Trump administration who make bad behavior, this is what they tend to do all the time. They'll say things like, oh, if he's doing a good job, don't worry about this. Well, if you start making the argument that it doesn't matter if the Affordable Care Act is legally, structurally, functionally unconstitutional, but we like its provisions, we like what it provides, then let's just leave it in place. That's no way to run a government, right? That's no way to run regulation. Fix it and make it right in the first place. And I believe that there are some seeds that were planted, if you take the seed metaphor, seeds planted inside of the ACA when it was originally written that allowed it to convince insurers that it was a good idea. And this requirement that people have insurance or be fined was really important. It was a demand of the insurance industry. Now, I'm somebody who would have much rather had there be what's called single payer or universal health care, single payer, which somebody mentioned to me the other day. They said, I don't know why we call it single payer. What does that What does single payer mean? It means that there's only one payer of the insurance, which would be the federal government. So sometimes called universal healthcare, government paid healthcare becomes part of our, we pay our taxes and then our taxes provide the healthcare. And then the government can decide how they want to distribute that coverage. But I wanted that all along. So I've always had a key eye out for the times when all the giveaways to the industry of doctoring, the industry of medicine, the industry of pharmaceuticals, and the industry of insurance got what they wanted out of the ACA. So I've never been particularly happy with it on that front. I've always thought it should have been better, will be better someday. But what they did is they built into the ACA this requirement that said you'll get a lot more people buying insurance because they won't want to pay the fine. I've always found that to be a totally ridiculous notion. Who's going to buy, Brett, just think about this with me for a minute. Who's going to pay for $3,000, $5,000, $6,000, $10,000, $12,000 worth of insurance that they don't want only because they don't want to pay a $200 tax penalty, right? No one. The thing that I hope that we figure out this year, while there's no penalty, no cash penalty, I hope that we'll have enough statistics to be able to look at the numbers of people who added insurance coverage, fell away from insurance coverage, to see that if there is, maybe I'm wrong, maybe there are people who are motivated to spend $12,000 or $4,000 or $6,000 in order to save $200. I just don't think that's a real option. And the fact that they built it in was a giveaway to the insurance companies. I thought it was a bad idea for a bad reason. They needed to make the insurance so desirable rather than so punitive that people would want it, rather than, well, I'm going to be punished if I don't get it. That's always sat wrong for people. It was indefensible from the start. I mean, if you wanted to make the moral argument, then you can make the moral argument that it's good for you to have insurance and it helps your family, or you have to carry your part. You can't go into an emergency room because you don't want to have insurance. Those are great moral arguments. We should be making them. To throw on top of it a $50, $100, $250 fine seemed ridiculous from the start. And now the fact that, to my mind, that notion, that penalty, that little seed that was planted is now that which the Republicans who wanted to bring an end to Obamacare all along knew that if they zeroed it out, they would have an argument to claim that it was unconstitutional. They played the system. They work the system. Now they're going to be able to do something damaging to the society by removing the ACA, or potentially, or even putting the doubt in people's minds because there was this provision stuck in there. And it's terrible. So when we come back here after the break, Gary, I know you're on there. I'll have you hold on over the break. I want to talk about what that means for Minnesotans, because there's more than 1 million people who benefit from this very directly that will be impacted most immediately if there's changes in the ACA in Minnesota. And that's just the people that are on Medicaid. So AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll be back after the break.
Here with his face all bright, and he says in a little while you'll be all right. All he gives is a humbug pill.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman for Continental Diamond. You've heard me talk about this place for a long time. And this holiday season, it's time to get your loved one a gift that will last a lifetime. Their experts know all the latest trends and will help you find the perfect gift to fit any budget with an amazing in-stock selection to choose from. Stay away from the craziness of the malls and visit Continental Diamond, adjacent to the West End in St. Louis Park, and at ContinentalDiamond.com. That's Continental Diamond for the perfect holiday gift.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist point of view. Visit our website at MinnesotaAtheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
Are you in charge of the company gifts? Looking for a great work party gift or maybe just something nice for yourself? Hi, this is Richard Piepenberg with Vinaigrette, and we're ready for you. We package, gift wrap, and even deliver the finest oils and vinegars so you can simply enjoy the holidays. Since 2009, our family-owned and operated store has specialized in everything vinaigrette. Come in to Tap, Taste, and Treasure, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, and in downtown Excelsior at 287 Water Street. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 24. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high near 43. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high around 39. And Thursday, cloudy with a high around 35. Break away from the ordinary and find a list of one-of-a-kind local restaurants this holiday season at eatlocalminnesota.com. The Eat Local Minnesota restaurants are great spots for date nights, evenings with friends, and business occasions, and your money also stays local with Minnesota-owned businesses. Find a full list of all those restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hey, welcome back, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, 4:34 in the afternoon today. This winter solstice appears, friends. Holiday season, but also that sky. And so if you're feeling it already, you know, 4:30 and the darkness has fallen, hang in there. It's going to be getting brighter after next week. I'll be bragging about that all late December. That's getting brighter as we go. What's not getting brighter is how we think about our insurance coverage in this country. Boy, we've been having this debate at a very rich level, you know, for a long time. And somebody on Facebook reminded me that the state of Minnesota has a rich history of taking care of these kinds of matters, that we've had times where we've had good coverage for pre-existing conditions and other things by having some taxes that were applied. There are many other creative ways. But anyway, since 2006, 2007, leading up to the 2008 presidential election, healthcare and how we were going to organize it was a really big question. And then, of course, became really important through 2010 and then all the fights about it. And over the last 2 years, Republicans saying they wanted to totally scrap it and start over. It has simultaneously become the expectation and the norm, but is also really still up in the air. It's not working great for everybody, I can assure you. Anybody who got into the ACA back in, you know, 2012 or 13, when it was promised these low rates, and then every year, as I did, because the way I handle my employment, my insurance doesn't come through my employer. I have to take care of insurance myself. You're seeing 7%, 12%, 14% increases every year. You put that together over 4 or 5 years, and you can get into a 50, 60, 70% increase. It's insane. So that thing that was meant to be subsidized at the beginning by lower rates because more people were going to be in hasn't really panned out. And the cost when you're on the individual market, it's brutal. When you have to pay the full cost of all the health insurance, if your employer doesn't cover it, if the government doesn't help you with some subsidies, it's unbelievably expensive. The high costs for a lot of people, among the more expensive single budget lines in their entire life. And Gary, I know you've been thinking about this for a long time, and every time we talk about this, you always have such good thoughts. Gary from Minneapolis, how are you thinking about
this? Well, I was going to say, before I say what I was going to say, I just thought of something. Paul Wellstone used to say, you know, we have health care when you don't need it, but if you need it, we don't have it in this country years ago. And that's about putting the right of the nose down. I'd say even more than that. You look at Republicans, and that's the main reason why they've always been standing in the way of getting it. But I was going to say originally that, you know, Al Franken, it took him 6 months with that voter struggle with Coleman to get him in there. And Obama needed 60 votes for just about everything to get anything done. We were all kind of frustrated with Obama trying to get stuff done. But, you know, he only had a month or two of 60 votes. And then they drove Arlen Specter, the more moderate Republican, into the Democratic Party. So Specter and Franken got health care for us. And Franken put 80% of that money has to be spent on health care into that bill, and we owe him for that because it cut way down on all that profiteering of these insurance cartels.
Yeah. Well, I it's hard to go back, you know, to 2008 and figure out where all the blame lies, but a Democratic president with a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House should not have needed 60 votes in the Senate to pass this legislation, right? They should have figured out a way to give us a better health care bill so that in 2019, people are not having to have these same ongoing conversations. Look, and this is hindsight being worth, 2020. But it would have helped everyone had we taken the approach to get a bill that more people supported when it passed. Now, I've been a supporter of the ACA all along. I'm all for it. I didn't think it went far enough, but I thought, you know, take small steps, all that logic. So I'm just to blame as everybody else in my opinions about this. But we did not create a system by which most people in the country felt good about the ACA. And that it can feel like we've been at it for 6 years already. But it hasn't gone away, this bad feeling about it. And it's come up again. And there's not a lot of people. You have to shake people pretty hard in some situations so that they'll understand what devastation will come if we lose the ACA. And at the same time, people don't feel good about it. We're in a real pickle in this country when it comes to the laws around what the keeping track of, incentivizing, and protecting us around health insurance companies, because nobody feels very good about it. It's really it's a real problem. And I think we need to think about that anytime legislation is being passed. Hey, John from Minneapolis, how are you thinking about this?
I'm on a Bluetooth here, so hopefully you can hear me,
sounds good.
Minnesota used to have this thing called Medica MCHA, Minnesota Comprehensive Health. I think it stood for association, I think. But Minnesota, what they did was they had, you know, all nonprofit insurance companies, and they would ultimately have to, the insurance companies would have to take some of their, I don't know if it was their profits or some of their proceeds or whatever, and they put them in a big pool. And then people with pre-existing conditions or people that met their lifetime maximum on their insurance policy would qualify for this. And so, you know, I typically, I'm not, you know, I don't lean on the Democratic side. I lean more on the conservative Republican side. Mm-hmm. But with health care, I had a pre-existing condition, a heart condition that, insurance companies would deny me. And if it wasn't for MCHA, I mean, I would have been bankrupt.
Yes.
I mean, so many different things, you know, could have happened to me. And so, but with that, you know, it saved my life. But after Obamacare came in, they canceled it, and they got rid of it. Mm. And then, you know, I was on my own again looking for health care, and then it became so expensive. But my whole thing is this, is that I thought a lot about health care because, you know, of course, I've had to deal with the whole pre-existing thing.
Yes, right.
I think that a lot of people would say, oh, absolutely not. But you know what? I think that health care should be a right for all people. I don't think that – I mean – In a way, healthcare, if you think about it, I mean, it's, and I don't like to make the, the comparison between like Nazi Germany and the Holocaust and the, but you know, like, you know, you take the good, yeah. and the bad, you keep the good. You know, I mean, it's not people's fault that they're, you know, born That's with right. health problems. I mean, there, of course, are some people that they have self-inflicted problems. You know, I mean, you get the good with the bad. So I think all people need to be taken care of. But I think, in a way, to make it more manageable is maybe go back to the old way of making the people that, you know, are in good health, have them, you know, have them get regular insurance, and then go ahead and deny the pre-existing coverage, but then have a 3% or a, I don't know what sort of a
sales federal tax.
Sure. It would be like some sort of a federal sales tax that would cover the pre-existing coverage, and then don't have the government run it. So Minnesota used to have, it was administered by Medica. So the Medica insurance company would ultimately run the whole thing. So you'd have Medica insurance, but it was a state-run thing. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, John. And thanks for taking the time to call. I really do appreciate it. Well, I wish that the federal government had done what John is suggesting here and taken the Minnesota model rather than taking the Massachusetts model as their initial framing. It wasn't perfect in Minnesota at the time. There were some ways you could have fixed what was going on in the 80s and 90s. But there was a way to think about insurance and to think about the role of the government the way we were thinking about it in Minnesota back in those days. That would have served us much better. And I think John's actually getting after something. You know, we have this thing where we say to people, hey, you probably need to have insurance because things, you know, if something cataclysmic happens, what John mentioned in his own heart condition or people that have other diseases or a car accident. And that's really motivating, actually. Like, that makes you want to have insurance. I actually think the way we should do it is that the federal government, state government should cover catastrophic health needs like that. That we have, and anything else that's a part of your regular health updates and the kinds of things that are not considered in the cataclysmic category, we should carry private insurance for those things. But the government should kick in when it gets to be the big numbers. And that's how we could create a system by which everyone is covered for the cataclysmic things, and some of the smaller things people need to carry their own coverage for. And then insurance companies are only having to cover the non-cataclysmic pieces, and we could spread out the cost for the cataclysmic medical costs across the entire federal and state systems. I think there's something more like that we should look at. So it's not just because I don't think we can get to a 100% universal care right now, and we have to get to something. But I think there's a way to create a better way of thinking about this. And I sure hope that Governor Walz and that others here in Minnesota and this are very smart state legislature will start to take this up, not only to solve the problem in Minnesota if the ACA for some reason is weakened or goes away, because states can always pass their own state laws. We don't need the ACA to have our good laws in this state. We can make our insurance companies do whatever they need to do according to state law. Hey, David in Shakopee, how are you thinking about this?
Well, hey, I just want to say first, that was a really great idea. I hadn't heard that before. I like that.
Yeah, thanks.
About the cataclysmic. That's a really good idea. It kind of threw me off because I hadn't heard it before.
Okay.
So now my brain is going there. But no.
Well, take a minute. Talk till your idea comes
in. You said that they wish they put something else in place so we wouldn't continue having this conversation. I remember just after the ACA passed, Obama was on the Jay Leno show. And maybe you can find it on YouTube or whatever. But he said specifically that the ACA was a framework to be built upon.
Yes.
And the reason we haven't built upon it is because we've spent all this time talking about repeal and replace and defunding and defunding and getting rid of it rather than building upon it and turning it in and making it grow and fixing the holes.
Mm-hmm.
So if we would just say, okay, it's here, the Republicans have been like, oh, we want to keep pre-existing conditions that they campaigned on.
Yeah.
You know, say, okay, you've accepted that it's here. It's not going away. You're not getting rid of it. All right, now let's fix the problems and make it work, because that was the plan all along.
Yeah, that's a great thought, David. Thank you for that. I do remember that, too, and I remember Obama and many people in the administration making a really big point that this is just a start, and we have to make it better going forward. And I hoped people would, as everyone did, of course. One of the problems is it was so contentious. It was so divisive that for people on who didn't support it to then come around and say, well, let's find a way to fix it, wasn't going to happen. That's part of the reason why you have to win hearts and minds win the argument and not just think you have accomplished your goals by winning the votes. This is one of the things I think facing our Minnesota legislature and a new governor, as well as at the federal level, is winning elections is what it's all about. I'm all about winning elections. I think that really matters. But after you've won the election, you have to continue to win the hearts and minds and to win the argument of the ideas that were core to your political argument in the first place. Because if you don't bring people along, what you end up with is this seething frustration all the way through the system that is that ends up taking over pretty strongly. Hey Joanne, well, if you can do it in like 30 seconds, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
I have a thought about the what you talked about, the catastrophic. That doesn't help that young man that just died because he couldn't afford the insulin.
Yes, right.
Everybody needs health care. We have to have universal. That's all there is to it. The ACA was just, much like Social Security, was just for widows and orphans. It grew mm-hmm. to what it is today, which is a fantastic mm-hmm. program. ACA, universal health care, we have to have it. The Dems have to do it, much like how Trump did the tax scam. They just mm-hmm. did it. So that's my thought, and thank you for letting
me. Thanks, Joanne. Thanks, John. I really appreciate it. Hey, Rich, if you can hold on through the break, we'd love to hear your thoughts after we come back after the break. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. Catch me live every weeknight from 5 to 8 p.m. right here on AM 950. Whether it's a recap of the day's news, legal analysis, or teaching civics, justice is always served on the Norman Goldman Show. Today on the show, I've got Monday off, a three-day holiday approaching weekend for me. Our friend Dick Kay is in live for me. I trust you know Dick Kay and spend some time with him today. You'll enjoy it.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Odie, what are you going to get Linda this year?
Well, Sven, how about a t-shirt from Northern Sun?
Oh, yeah. They have those funny ones and political ones, too.
Yeah, and don't you know how Linda feels about that president?
Yeah, I don't care for him so much either.
Sven and Oli get their shirts, stickers, and magnets from Northern Sun.
You should, too, don't you know?
Visit Northern Sun in Minneapolis on East Lake Street, or online at northernsun.com.
Hey, welcome back to AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I've been talking most of the hour here about government shutdown and the ACA. So if you have another comment about the ACA, we'd love to hear from you. 952-946-6205 if you want to chat about that. But I do want to switch topics for a moment here. And hey, Brent, appreciated you sending over that that story about Representative Colin Peterson voting for the farm bill, and including in voting for the farm bill, voting to restrict Congress in its ability to vote against the support of the United States for Saudi Arabia because of their support of the war in Yemen. Boy, that's complicated. So the United States, you know, has this relationship with Saudi Arabia that we let them basically do whatever they want for whatever reason this is. I mean, I don't know why every administration is kowtowed to the Saudis for so long. They've all had their different reasons. Now I'm pretty sure it also has to do with the financial interests of Jared Kushner and Donald Trump. But well, for whatever reason, the Saudis have always got this big pass from the United States, and they're in a very brutal, inhumane, war crimes like war in a little country in their region called Yemen. Really poor and really struggling people, and there's mass starvation is breaking out. And they continue to use weapons that they buy from us to fight in Yemen. Well, some people in Congress wanted to make sure that that stopped. They want to bring an end to the U.S. support and thereby an end to the action, the end of the U.S. support for Saudi Arabia, and that would then pressure Saudi Arabia to stop behaving the way they are in Yemen. But in the farm bill, there was a portion that said, if you're going to vote for the farm bill, which really has to do with supporting some farmers, and I have lots of opinions about the farm bill, but it also carries all the legislation, all the spending for how we care for people through federally funded food programs in this country, including SNAP, which is so important to millions and millions of people. And that thing has to be protected. So they cobble all this together into this huge farm bill, and buried in there is this bit about if you vote for the farm bill, then you also have to vote for this this law that says that the Congress will not vote against Saudi Arabia. Well, Colin Peterson supported this, and one of five Democrats that crossed over to support the farm bill. And I get it. Colin Peterson was in a tough spot. I would love to have him on the show to talk about why he supported that. But when he was asked by the people at City Pages about his support for that portion of the farm bill, he said, well, it shouldn't even have ever been in there, making the complaint that I'm making right now. Shouldn't have been in there. And they said, well, it was in there. So in light of the fact that it was in there and you voted for it, and Colin Peterson's response was basically, I've worked my whole damn life to support these farm bills, which he has comments about that in a moment, worked my whole life for these farm bills. I'm not going to let it go down because somebody tagged this thing in there, because I don't even know what's going on in Yemen and I don't care. It just shouldn't have been in my farm bill. And the person from the City Pages made a nice point. Maybe it's incumbent upon you to do both parts of your job. And I know, I mean, if someone says, look, I had to take a tough vote. I think we should be out of Yemen. And I think we should be out of our support of Saudi Arabia until they get out of Yemen. All that would have been fine. But kind of the dismissive nature of the way that Colin Peterson spoke about this was, I really don't care. I don't know what's going on in Yemen. I don't care what's going on in Yemen. I just don't even know why it was in my farm bill and why I'm having to talk to you about it now. Well, this is the thing. This is the thing that happens with Congress people. They're asked to vote on many bills that aren't their pet project. So when you talk to your congressperson, ask them to take seriously all of their votes, even the ones that are handed to them late in the process, last minute, that they weren't on the committee to help create, that they weren't part of the system to help to structure, that they don't know a lot about. Because this attitude of, I don't really care what's in there as long as it carries my agenda that I have. It's again that way of functioning with our congresspeople that we have to hold them to account. I think all of us want a better government, and we know that a better government is possible, and it means leaning on the candidates that we support just as much as the candidates that we don't. And I think for a lot of us progressives, in the 2020 year, it's going to be really easy to want to go easy on all of our own representatives as to not make it look like they're going to be losing any support. But we can be very strong, we can be very direct, we can be very demanding, and still be supportive. There's nothing about holding elected officials' feet to the proverbial fire that doesn't make them into a better candidate, make the party into a better Democratic Party. How are you thinking about that, Brett? You have any thoughts on that Colin Peterson thing?
I kind of agree with him that, it probably didn't belong in the farm bill, but it's your job. You're a representative. You should know what's going on in Yemen. It's an important issue. We're funding, this terrible Saudi regime in a war that's really not benefiting anybody. And for him just to say, well, I don't know what's going on over there, that's kind of shocking to hear from a representative. I could picture him saying, well, it didn't belong in the bill, but, I wanted to get the farm bill passed anyways. Without just making that dismissive comment just rubs me the wrong way and is probably not going to make him any more popular in the Democratic Party.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of those blue dogs. And I hope the Democratic Party stays big enough that it welcomes people across the spectrum. Don't want it to become so tight that it runs into its own self-eating system, self-devouring system. But this is where the pressure's got to be laid on there, that when Democrats hear someone basically say, hey, nothing changed by us having that provision included in this bill, you can say, human rights still matter, right? Like, you can feel the pressure of, if it works, if it gets us what we want, then it's good enough. It's really easy to critique that kind of modality when you hear it from the Trump administration, you hear it from conservatives, Republicans. Oh, don't worry about it. Make sure you just keep the main thing. And as long as the president's doing what we want, he's going to have our support. Well, let's make sure we don't, turn our back on the unconstitutional nature of the ACA, if it indeed is, then let's fix it. Let's make sure that we don't let our Democratic partied Congress people be able to get away with saying things like, I don't even know what's going on in a place where there's great human suffering happening. Look, I'm sure Congressman Peterson was very busy. I'm sure of it. It's, I'm not trying to just take pot shots. He's welcome on here anytime. But I know what's going on in Yemen. Brent, you know what's going on in Yemen. For him to not know what's going on in Yemen, that's pretty incredible.
You have to have your head in the sand and not know. I mean, it's all over the news.
That's right. Go on.
Oh, yeah, just saying. Yeah, how do you not know?
Yeah, you have to not care, which is basically what he said, right? I don't even care enough to know. Well, that's something that, progressives and Democrats just can't allow to happen. There's a lot of things to care about. We should care about all of them. We should have like an active care act, an ACA of our own, that we actively care about all things because they all matter. Hey, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Happy Monday, all.